The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 8, text number 15. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Kikari. Recorded on September 6th, 2017, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Mamupecha Punarjanma. The Kalayam Ashashvatam Napnuvanti Mahatmana Sansidim Paramam Gata Mamupecha Punarjanma The Kalayam Ashashvatam Napnuvanti Mahatmana Sansadin Paramam Gata Mambupecha Punarjanma Dukhalayam Ashashvatam Napnuvanti Mahatmana Sansadin Paramam Gata Mam, me, upetya, achieving, puna, again, janma, birth, dukkhalayam, place of miseries, Ashashvatam, temporary. Na, never. Apnuvanti, attain. Mahatmana, the great souls. Sangsidim, perfection. Paramam, ultimate. Gata, having achieved. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vadandatri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. After attaining me, the great souls who are yogis in devotion never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Purport. Since this temporary world is full of the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death, naturally he who achieves the highest perfection and attains the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, does not wish to return. The supreme planet is described in Vedic literature as avyakta and akshara and parama gati. In other words, that planet is beyond our material vision and it is inexplicable, but it is the highest goal, the destination for the Mahatmas, great souls. The Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees and thus gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any of the material planets, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. They only want Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. That is the highest perfection of life. This verse specifically mentions the personless devotees of the Supreme Lord, Krishna. These devotees in Krishna consciousness achieve the highest perfection of life. In other words, They are the supreme souls. So we're reading tonight about the Mahatmas. Who are these Mahatmas? They are the yogis in devotion. Do you have to be fully realized to be a Mahatma? According to this verse, you don't have to be fully realized to be a Mahatma. Srila Prabhupada makes a distinction between the realized devotees and the Mahatmas. In other words, one who has seriously taken up the pathway of self-realization can be considered a Mahatma even before he becomes perfect in realization. What is the proof of this? This sentence here. Srila Prabhupada says the Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees. And thus gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness. So you can be a Mahatma. Right now. If you seriously take up this pathway. So who are these realized devotees we get the messages from? Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is the realized devotees. Prabhupada's predecessors, Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Narottam Das Thakur. In this way, you see. There are many, many realized souls who are blessing us with this transcendental knowledge. So we carefully study these books of Srila Prabhupada and seriously try to follow them, then we are Mahatma. Sometimes we are criticized that we're being too strict. That we shouldn't strictly follow Prabhupada's teachings. But that means you're not a Mahatma. Mahatma who is strictly following the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. If you try to mix sense gratification in with the process of Krishna consciousness, it doesn't have the same potency. That I can, you know, break the principles every now and then, it's okay. That's called Duratma, not Mahatma. One who strictly follows the instructions of Srila Prabhupada is considered a Mahatma. Even before he achieves the perfection of self-realization. And in due course of time, such a person will become fully realized. So that person can be you. You can be that perfectly realized person. Prabhupada wants us to come to that stage. He personally told me, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So that we should try for. To become perfect in love of God. If we're not trying to become perfect in love of God, what are we trying for? To have some prestige within society of devotees. The intelligent person strives for pure devotional service. Because actually, according to the nectar of devotion, there's nothing else that satisfies the self.
Nes pasak atsidėjimo nektarą, niekas kitas tavęs nepatenkins.
I've seen many god brothers who became big, big sannyasis, big, big GBCs. And now they're gone. They're back in the material nature again, you see. So we're out here to have some big position. To have some big title, you see. Our purpose for being here is to develop pure love of
Krishna.
So that we can revive our original loving relationship with Krishna. Srila Prabhupada describes this in the introduction of the Bhagavad Gita. Svarup Siddhi. The Svarupa means your own form, his own form.
Svarupa reiškia tavo formą.
So the perfection of Krishna consciousness is to become re-established in your original relationship with Krishna. In any one of five primary rasas. So we all have a relationship with Krishna. We've just forgotten that
something.
We've been caught up in the cycle of birth and death for millions and billions of lifetimes. Therefore, we don't remember what is our relationship with Krishna. But every one of us has its particular relationship with Krishna. And by this process of Krishna consciousness taught by Srila
Prabhupada,
your heart will become cleansed of all material desires. And you'll become re-established in that relationship with Krishna. Which is more satisfying than anything you could ever achieve in this material world. Even if you got the post of Brahma, the chief demigod of this whole universe, that's simply a broken piece of glass compared to pure bhakti. So, let us be mahatmas. Completely dedicated and focused on becoming re-established in pure bhakti.
Susikoncentruokime į šį tikslą, kaip pasiekti tyrą bhakti.
Actually, if you're not striving to be a mahatma,
nes jeigu jūs nemėginate tapti mahatma,
you're cheating yourself, that's all.
Jūs save apgaudinėjate.
Every one of us should strive for pure bhakti.
Nes kiekvienas turi ieškoti tyros bhakti.
That's the foundation for a blissful, ecstatic life.
Tai yra laimingo gyvenimo pagrindas.
The material success, it comes and it goes. In Sanskrit, it's called chanchala. These things, victory and defeat, happiness and distress, heat and cold, they are the dualities. Sometimes you're glorified. Sometimes you're criticized. Sometimes you're rich, you have money, sometimes you're poor, you don't have any money. Sometimes you're famous. Sometimes nobody's ever heard of you. We're being bounced by these dualities. Sometimes you're rich. Sometimes you're poor. Sometimes you're healthy. Sometimes you're sick. Sometimes you're young and beautiful. Sometimes you're old and ugly like me. You see, that's the nature of the material world. I'm being bound around by the dualities. Just like if you're in the ocean, the waves go up and down, up and down, up and down. So when you come to Krishna consciousness, you become transcendentally situated beyond the dualities. It's such an amazing thing that even though the dualities are still happening around you in the material nature, you're not affected by them anymore. You become completely transcendental to the dualities. there's a word, equipoised.
Nesutrikdomas.
You become equal in happiness and distress.
Ar būtų laimė, ar būtų kančia.
Because you see them all as Krishna's special mercy.
Nes pradedi viską matyti kaip Krishna's specialių padėjimų, Krishna's malonė.
In fact, some devotees find that distress is even better than happiness.
O kai kurie pasidavusiems, kančios padėtis dar geresnė nei laimės.
Kunti Devi was praying for them.
Kunti Devi meldėsi apie.
And my dear Lord, please give me more and more distress.
Oh, brangus Viešpatie, atsiųsk man dar daugiau sunkumų.
Because when distress comes, I can do nothing but take shelter of you.
Nes kai sunkumai ateina, nieko kito nebelieka, kaip priimti tavo.
When I take shelter of you, then I can't be touched by any of the miseries of this material world.
O kai priimu tavo prieglobstį, jokios kančios manęs nebeliečia.
So in this way, we have to take advantage of these teachings of Bhagavad Gita.
Taigi mes turime pasinaudoti šitų Bhagavad Gita's mokymų.
Situate ourselves beyond these dualities.
Ir pakilti virš šių dalykų.
What's the technique? How do you do that?
O kaip tai padaryti?
It's called steady devotional service.
Stabili atsidavimo tarnystė.
Prabhupada gave a very simple formula.
Šita Prabhupada davė paprastą formulę.
Chant at least 16 rounds every day of Hare Krishna Japa Mala.
Kiekvieną dieną su džiapos karoliais kartoti bent 16 ratų.
And strictly avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling.
Ir griežtai vengti neleistinų lytinių santykių.
It's a very simple formula.
Formula yra labai paprasta.
But it can be difficult if we're addicted to these things.
Problema kyla tada, jeigu mes esam prisirišę prie šių dalykų.
So in the beginning, it may be like poison to follow these rules and regulations.
Iš pradžių gali būti kaip nuodai sekti šitais nurodymais.
But that poison turns into the sweetest nectar in due course of time.
Bet per laiką nuodai pavirsta į nektarą.
And that nectar just keeps on increasing and increasing and increasing. Now, on the other hand, you think, well, I just want to keep having illicit sex, eating meat, getting intoxicated and gambling. I enjoy these things. Why should I take away, why should I give them up? It's my pleasure on the weekend. These things are maybe pleasurable in the beginning.
Šitie dalykai iš pradžių galbūt teikia malonumą.
But they turn to poison.
Bet ilgainiui jie virsta nuodais.
And they drag you down to the animal kingdom in your next breath.
Ir kitą gyvenimą nutempia tave į gyvūnų pasaulį.
So it's better to do a little austerity up front.
Geriau prieš tai padaryti šiek tiek asketiką.
And get an unlimited reward.
Ir paskui gauti neribotą atlygį.
Than to just enjoy yourself up front and suffer like anything, you see.
Negu truputį pasidžiaugti, paskui kentėti.
In Sanskrit, this is called Shreya and Preya. Preya means what? Immediately fun. Instant pleasure, you see. Shoot some heroin or, you know, have sex or have a hamburger, you know, have some instant pleasure. Shreya is that which is ultimately beneficial. In the long run, you see. Even though in the beginning it may be austere. Just like somebody wants to have a good income, you see. So they get a college degree, so they get a high-paying job. I don't know about Lithuania, but in America, if you have a college degree, you can make big money, you see. So, but it's an austerity to go to college, you know, all the courses and the final exams and the papers. It's a very austere thing to do. But thousands and thousands of students every year do the austerity of going through college and graduating so they can get, they can they can eventually make big money and be well situated. So in the same way, we're doing our austerities now, you see. We're in the Prabhupada's university. We're doing the austerities of studying and doing the assignments. And it's sometimes difficult. Getting up at 4 in the morning, you know. Sometimes we find a little difficulty. But if you do the austerities, and you actually become fixed up in Krishna consciousness as Prabhupada is training us to do, then you achieve a position which is so sublime that no material misery, even the heaviest material misery, can never penetrate your consciousness ever again. You become completely immune to the misery. Death can't touch you. You develop a misery-proof consciousness. Where absolutely nothing can bring you down. If they dropped a nuclear bomb on Kaunas, you would just say, Krishna! Like Prabhupada, you know the story? During World War II, they bombed Calcutta. So everyone ran for the bomb shelters. But Prabhupada was honoring Prasadam when the attack came. So honoring Prasadam for Prabhupada is an act of worship. It's not just throwing some food in the mouth. It's an act of worship. And you're honoring Prasad. It's spiritual. It's like a puja, honoring Prasadam. So he just sat there continuing honoring Prasadam. He wouldn't go run for the bomb shelter. And the bombs were coming, chee-kum! They were exploding all over the place. And Papa was saying, oh, here comes Krishna, chee-kum! And in this way, Prabhupada was completely undisturbed by the bombs falling all over the place. Simply peacefully honoring Prasadam. So in this way, one can become transcendental to all the miseries of material existence. Even if you have to work a job, you see, you can do it for Krishna. It's like I was a brahmachari for 14 years. And then Krishna arranged a really wonderful, amazing wife for me, somehow or other. Of course, she's shaking her head, no, of course, you know. And then they made an announcement. They said, okay, all the householders have to go out and get jobs. They said, the householder should not be supported by ISKCON, they should support ISKCON by working and giving donations. So that was my duty, you see. I got a suit and a tie, you know, and I enrolled in a computer programming school, and I was fired up. This is my duty. I'm a householder, it's my duty for Krishna. I remember I would, in the elevator at the computer school, I'd be with all the karmis, but I'd be chanting slokas from Bhagavad Gita going up the elevator. I remember coming back from the computer school. I was driving through downtown Dallas reciting a verse from the Bhagavad Gita. And there's a verse where Krishna says, everything rests upon me as pearls are strung upon a thread. And I looked out at the city of Dallas, all the big skyscraper buildings. And I went, wow! Krishna is a thread holding this whole thing together. It's like if you have a string of pearls, you pull out the thread, all the pearls fall out, you know, they all fall over the place. I realize if you take downtown Dallas minus Krishna, the whole thing collapses. So even while dressing up like a karmi and going to computer school, I was having all these transcendental realizations. It didn't interfere with my Krishna consciousness, because I was doing it as a duty for Krishna, you see. Yat karoshi yadishnasi yajdahosi didasi yat. Yat tapashashi kontaya tat kadushva madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer or give away, as well as whatever austerities you may perform, do that, O son of Kunti, as an offering unto me. So one can do one's duty as a brahmachari and be completely ecstatic. One can do one's duty as a householder and be completely ecstatic. Or as a vanaprastha, sannyasi, you see. It doesn't matter the order that you're in. You just have to offer everything to Krishna. And then you'll be a transcendentalist. You'll be a Mahatma. You don't have to be a full-time preacher to be a Mahatma. You can be a householder doing your duty to earn a livelihood for your family. As a basketball coach or whatever. And this way you can be a Mahatma, you see. So, let's all do it. Let's be Mahatmas. Let's be Mahatmas, not Duratmas. So if you simply take the messages from the realized souls, especially His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, and those who are purely teaching His teachings, if you take those messages from the realized devotees and strictly follow them, you will truly be a Mahatma. And you'll taste the sweetest pleasure every moment of your life. From the moment you wake up in the morning to the moment you take rest at night, you will be in a state of transcendental bliss. It's simply a matter of being dutiful as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasa. You do your duty and you'll taste the sweetest happiness. So now I can ask if there's any questions.
Why material desires is so strong?
Because your purpose is not strong. You're weak in your determination. If one is strong in one's determination to become a pure devotee of Krishna, the material desires become reduced to insignificance. So you simply have to increase your determination, I must become a pure devotee of Krishna. You have to intensely desire that. And if you don't desire that, then pray to Krishna that you can develop that desire. And the material desires, they won't even touch you anymore. They won't be able to approach you. You have a bullet, you'll have a Maya-proof heart. Your consciousness will be impenetrable by the material nature. Next. Behind. Okay, I can't see this. Okay, Hare Krishna.
I have two questions, but can I say in English or in English? Can we become Mahatma alone, or we need to do it together with others? And also, second question.
Let me take it. Not answer that one first, and then you can. We require the association of devotees. Especially require a spiritual master. That's absolutely essential. You have to surrender a bona fide spiritual master. You cannot become self-realized on your own. It's not possible. Krishna clearly states in the Adi Purana, he says, Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta state janaha, mad bhaktanam chaye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. My dear Arjun, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So let's say you live all alone somewhere out in the forest and you don't have any association. But still, you have to seek out a bona fide spiritual master and fully surrender unto him. But actually, our nature is we want to associate. That's our nature. That's why we're all together here in a city, because we can associate with many people. It's our nature. It's like the ants live in anthills. The ants live in anthills. They make their anthill. We human beings are also of a nature, we like to socialize with other human beings. We have herd, like a herd of animals, we have a herd consciousness. We like to be together with other human beings, our nature. So you have to, since you have that nature to want to be with other human beings, you have to therefore use that by associating with devotees. If you don't associate with devotees, you will associate with non-devotees. And Krishna clearly states in the Bhagavad Gita, Sangat Sanjayate Kama, your consciousness is developed according to your association. So therefore you need to associate with devotees. And you need a spiritual master. And then your pathway will become very solid to achieve spirit perfection. Next, that's a question. Now's your second question. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. So the second question was regarding ISKCON or Bhakti Yoga philosophy. Because if you go deeper into the philosophy of Srila Prabhupada, you will see that there are many things which are ambivalent.
And what?
Ambivalent.
That is it means.
Word? That means.
Unfavorable.
Ambivalent.
What does ambivalent mean?
Ambivalent means that it has contradictions or both sides to one phenomenon.
That's your misconception.
Is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Give me one example of what you think is ambivalent or contradictory in Prabhupada's teachings. And we'll analyze it to see whether you're right or not.
And then Linti Prabhupada's mokymus, kad jis atrodo, kad kai kurie dalykai turi tokią dviprasmišką prasmę.
For instance, his position on women, right? What he wrote in Bhagavad Gita and commentaries, and what he wrote in letters, and what he told specific people, and also homosexuals.
What do you think he said that was incorrect?
About homosexuals.
What do you feel he made some mistake in his comments about women?
I'm not looking for mistakes.
What is the difficulty?
For instance,
Prabhupada talks about women, he talks about men, he talks about animals, he talks about demigods, he talks about everyone. What is the difficulty?
No, I'm saying the difficulty is if you really want to follow what he wrote.
Yeah.
And there are so many things which
give me one example that you find wrong. Look at what Prabhupada himself teaches. What is? Show me one thing that you think is wrong in Prabhupada's teaching. Just one thing. Just name one thing you feel is wrong about Prabhupada's teaching. Just give me one thing. We'll analyze it. Maybe Maybe I'll become your follower. Maybe you'll convince me.
For instance, he compared women as good dogs and shudras.
Yes. Actually, according to Bhagavad Gita, you're also compared with a dog or a shudra. Men are also compared. In fact, the Shastra says, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In this age of Kali, everyone is like a dog or a shudra. Men and women, everyone is like them. So you're also like a dog and a shudra. So just like you, the women are also like you. You're like a dog or a shudra. Women are also like it. I'm also like a dog or a shudra. In this age, everyone is like a dog or a shudra. That's what the Shastra says. Prabhupada didn't make this up. This is what the Shastra says. Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In this age of Kali, everyone's a low-class Shudra. Everyone. So the women are, these women, they're low-class Shudras. You're also low. I'm also a low-class Shudra. We're all low-class Shudras. Join the club. What is the difficulty? Any other? Well, it's very simple. It's very simple. If you read Prabhupada's books and you scrutinizingly read Prabhupada's books and then you hear the lectures, I have over 1,000 lectures on the internet. I can give you a link. You can listen to them and check me out. See if I'm purely presenting Prabhupada's teachings or I'm deviating. Now, some people say that I'm a fanatic. That I'm not really a good devotee, I'm a fanatic. There's many people have the opinion I'm a fanatic, you see. But thing is, I'm strictly following Prabhupada. And I don't care if people call me a fanatic, because I strictly follow my spiritual master. He trained me to be fully obedient to him and to purely teach what he taught without any compromise. So if people call me a fanatic for that, then I take that word fanatic as a great honor. But actually, I'm not a fanatic. I'm simply purely presenting what my spiritual master has taught me without any deviation. But I can give you a link. Actually, I give you my card. You can hear all my lectures. Here we go. There's a link. You can check out my lectures. Check me out. See if I'm bogus or I'm bona fide. You can make your own judgment.
How can I decide when I don't know myself?
By reading Prabhupada's books. You study all of Prabhupada's books and hear my lectures and you can...
Huh?
Take your whole life? Well, good. You go back to Godhead then. Spend your whole life reading Prabhupada's books and hearing my lectures, you'll go back to Godhead. Well, you can hear one lecture a day also while you're driving to work. Put it in your smartphone, download it in your smartphone. Not difficult. We have all these high-tech things. Use them. Okay? Any other questions? Any other challenges? I can take challenges too, you know. I can defeat all opposing arguments because Prabhupada has empowered me to defeat all opposing arguments. Prabhupada ordered us to be like that. He said, you go village to village, town to town, and make Digvijay. Digvijay means one who can conquer in all four directions. Now there is God. I can prove there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on! Prabhupada taught us to preach like that. Digvijay Pandit, you see. Yeah, Prabhupada said like that. And you make Digvijaya. Conquer one who can conquer in all directions. So Prabhupada has empowered me to conquer the whole world. So I'm just trying to do my best to carry out what he empowered me to do. Anything else? Yeah.
My question is, Prabhupada said that we have a simple life and high thinking. What does it mean? How to apply?
Simple living and high thinking? Simple living means you don't need to have a big, you don't have to work really hard so you have a Rolls Royce car and a big yacht that you can go out on the river with your big yacht. You keep your material needs as simple as possible. Some people are so eager to get ahead, they get two or three jobs even. They work practically 24 hours a day just because they want to make a lot of money. That's called... They want high living with no thinking, you see. So you take whatever means of livelihood that you can adopt. Whatever comes the most easiest and natural for you. And then you put your balance, energy into awakening Krishna consciousness. You understand? Yeah.
So I heard that word initiation means only beginning. Mm-hmm. So, but the real initiation happens all life. So continues all life that you have to become disciple by your life and your actions. Maybe mm-hmm. you can comment on this point.
Yes, initiate. Translation.
Translate.
You already said, okay. Initiation means to begin. When you initiate something, you begin it. So initiation does not mean that your business is finished. Now I'm an initiated disciple. It's like when you enroll in the university, your enrollment is when you begin. And your graduation is when you complete it. So initiation is the beginning. And when you achieve pure love of God, that's the conclusion. But it doesn't end your relationship with the spiritual master. Spiritual master lives forever and his disciple lives with him. It's an eternal relationship. Even in the spiritual world, the disciple will recognize and worship his spiritual master. So Prabhupada says, a disciple means discipline. So one has to discipline oneself according to one's initiation vows. It's an ongoing practice, it's a yoga. It's a means of connecting with Guru and Krishna. By honoring the vows, chanting those rounds every day, following the regulated principles. And this way, your actual awakening comes. You go through all the stages of bhakti. The stages are described like this. There are stages before initiation also. The first thing is you have faith in the process, Shraddha. We have many people come to our temples, they have faith in this process, so they come and they hear and they chant, they love it. They're not initiated, but they've begun the process. So the first step is Shraddha, have faith in the process. And the second stage is you associate with devotees, sadhu sangha. Now, initiation is the third stage. That's called bhajana kriya. You take up the activities of bhakti, you embrace them as your lifestyle now. So initiation is the third step. And then after initiation, there's another stage called anartha nivritti. All these tendencies of the heart, lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy, they have polluted us for thousands of lifetimes. By following the order of your spiritual master, honoring your initiation vows, there's a cleansing of the heart. Just like a dirty mirror with many layers of dust on it. You start wiping it clean. Eventually it becomes completely clean. So the fourth stage is anartha nivritti, where your heart starts to become clean more and more and more and more and more and more and more. And then when your heart is almost completely clean, you become subtly fixed. That's called nishtha. You become pakka Vaishnava, very, very solid devotee. And then after the nishtha stage, you achieve the stage of amazing. This is very high level now, very high level
stuff.
Now we're going far beyond our level. When we talk about after you go after nishtha, there's a stage called ruchi. In the ruchi stage, Krishna's name is so sweet that you could chant the Maha Mantra for millions of years and never get tired of chanting. You could chant 24 hours a day for millions of years and just become deeper and deeper absorbed in the names. That's far beyond us. That's the ruchi stage. And then beyond ruchi, there's a stage called the asakti stage. And that's when you become completely pure devotee of Krishna. You become absolutely, totally attached to Krishna. And at that stage, then it becomes revealed to you who you actually are in Krishna's pastimes. And then you start to enter into that mood, being trained by one of the Brijabasis who is in that same mood. The mood of a gopi, or a gopa, or a cow, or a calf, or a peacock, or a dhoti. Yes, you can even be Krishna's dhoti in the spiritual world. Or his peacock feather. There's a devotee who actually is Krishna's peacock
feather.
That everything is a person in the spiritual world. There's nothing inanimate. Even the rock that Krishna sits on is a devotee of Krishna. So you enter into that mood of your rasa being trained by a Brijabasi who's in that mood, or it could be in the Vaikuntha realm as well. And then you fully enter a prema where you actually again reinstated in that rasa of eternal relationship with Krishna. So that's the perfection of your initiation. When you're back in your original relationship with Krishna. And you recognize who your guru is. When you go into the spiritual world, you'll see who your spiritual master is initiated. You see who he is, and you'll be worshiping him eternally. He's the one who brought you back to your position. As Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, the spiritual master lives forever by his divine teachings, and the disciple lives with him. So, our time is up, and we'll end it here. And we thank you all very, very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness process. Please take it very seriously according to Prabhupada's teachings. Don't water Prabhupada's teachings down. Take them as they are. And by doing so, you will come to the point of being able to see Krishna face to face. So we thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Very good. Jai Hare Krishna.